Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning and welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show. Hour number two underway. We do thank you for listening on this Thursday. Numbers 251-343-0106. Question we're putting out there. Open question here. Polling in the Alabama Senate race, gubernatorial race, whatever the election may be, a big undecided number. If you're undecided, let us know. Let us know why or you know, what you're thinking there, what your calculus, what you're waiting on to hear from these guys if you're undecided. Again, text line 251-343-0106. Still to come on the program, State Representative Alan Baker Bruton will be with us, and Dave Mallory, political consultant, Montgomery based. Talk to him in the 11 o'clock hour, so you'll want to stick around for that. But joining us now, it's my pleasure to introduce Congressman Jerry Carl of the 1st Congressional District. Congressman, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jeff. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing well, doing well. Thanks for making time for us. Give us the underground report from the District of Columbia.
Well, we got the president's budget 2 days ago, as you well know. I know you've talked about it, and it's a joke. And I tell people don't panic. As you well know, by the time it goes through all the committees and appropriations and everything else, it'll look totally different. But the budget. As old saying goes, if the budget tells you, you know, where the party's heart actually stands, I would definitely say that the Democrat Party is more focused on green energy than they are national security or anything else. So, again, don't panic on that. We're gonna get our hands on it and clean it up a little bit.
Yeah, typically those presidential budgets, they're just kind of conversation starters or symbolic gestures or whatever. But the important thing, I guess, with that, Congressman, is you see where the priorities lie for this administration. And it seems to me at first glance, a little tone deaf.
You're exactly right. I mean, they're not looking at the price of fuel. They're not looking at the price of bread. They're not looking at the working class people. They're not looking at the inflation. I mean, all these factors that should be put into making those type of decisions on a budget, it's like they are not looking at them. They've got their agenda, and this has been since day one. This is nothing new. I mean, since day one, they've locked down. They've put themselves on cruise control, and, you know, they just run over us on most everything. But I promise you that day's coming in November that we're going to check a little reality into them. It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah, and it's funny how that, you know, I guess they just look at things like, well, that's just the ebb and flow of polls and politics and opinions, that there's no willingness here from the Democrats to moderate, to adjust, to, maybe this is of a different era, that like a triangulation or whatever, but it just seems like, no, we're going to double down. Everything is, all this stuff is happening, but we're going to continue to double down on the energy policy. We're going to continue to be wedded to this idea that we're not going to we're not going to try to expand energy production. Why do you think it is?
This is the factor that they're missing. And that is the female vote. And this is Jerry's opinion. The moms. And this is what turned out in Virginia. That's the reason we keep pointing to Virginia. We're going, this is going to happen again. But you got moms, they're single moms trying to feed their kids, and they throw a bowl of cereal in front of them and let them eat that cereal so they can run back and get dressed to go to work. Now that bowl of cereal is up 12, 15, 20%, whatever the magic number is today. And it's just getting higher. And then they get in the car to take the kids, and the price of that gas has doubled what it was a year ago. And these moms are, you know, that little 3 and 4% pay raise that they got, 7% inflation's eating it up. I'm telling you, it's going to bring out voters. It's going to bring out the moms. And when you get the moms stirred up, you get that mama bear turned loose, you got problems. The Democrat Party has not figured that out yet. Virginia taught them absolutely nothing. And I think this election is going to be an eye-opener for the Democrats and the Republicans. I'm working very hard. We're in the process of identifying five Democrat districts that we can help five Republicans run to take those districts over. You know, we need to win five to take the speaker back, take majority up here. I want 35, and I think we can do it. With 35, that would be the largest majority up here for the Republican Party in 100 years. And I think we're on the verge of doing that, but we're putting in a lot of work, a lot of effort. We're doing everything we can do to get it there.
And it's just
the mom vote is what people are not seeing here. And those, they're very quiet, but when they go to the poll, they're very loud.
It just, Democrats just seem resigned to the notion that, well, our policies, our way of thinking, this borderline European, Western European socialist model is the direction we need to go in, and we're not deviating from that. No matter what you say, no matter what happens, we're sticking to it.
I said it the other day. You know, they're talking about up here, you know, $100 a month for gas, towards gas, and you know, we don't want your free money, and it's not free. Those are your tax dollars. They're giving you, by the way, they're giving them back. But people don't want that money. They want to be able to buy fuel at $1.40 a gallon. They want to be able to go back to work. They want to be able to take their kids to and from dance lessons and everything to raise a family. And the Democrat Party is just totally tone deaf to that. They think throwing $100 over the fence will fix their problems. It's not. It's not. So, you know, I get, you know, it's like a fence around here. You know, well, let's throw some more money over the fence and that'll quieten down. I think they've missed this one. They have missed this one.
Yeah, and that continues to proceed in that direction. Yeah, and you were talking, you know, Sean, on Monday, talking about what do you call it? Crumbs. They're just kind of throwing at us over the fence to try to appease the great unwashed out here over gas prices. The reluctance to do more domestically, and they will tell you that that's just a media phenomenon, that is just oil company propaganda, that these oil companies or these producers could produce more if they really, really wanted to, but they're choosing not to. We're not doing anything, but it seems like that kind of defies everything I've heard.
That is so far from the truth. And again, they're trying to tell that story to these moms, these single moms trying to raise these kids. They're trying to tell that same story to people on fixed income. They're trying to tell that story to people that are hurting. The other night, I talked to a man, and what he said to me is still ringing in my brain. I said, we will take care of it in January. We can do this. We can do that. We can do this. We can do that. And he looks at me, and what he said was very simple. But what am I going to do between now and then? And that still rings in my brain. What are we going to do between now and then? So we're still trying to stay focused. We're still trying to get the president to release our petroleum industry. There's so much rules and regulations that apply to them. They won't let loose the permits. You know, he keeps talking about 7,000 permits that are out there. Only about 1,200 of them, we think, have got the possibility of production. And those permits are being held up. It's more than one permit involved. So but we cannot get the president to listen. And that's probably the most frustrating thing that I'm dealing with personally, because I'm used to sitting down with people and coming up with something, you know, middle of the road. Let's at least get it going. But, you know, he's come up with this new releasing, you know, excuse me, 1 million barrels per day for the next 6 months. That's our security. That's our national security fuel. That's not something you're supposed to play with to bring prices down for a November election. Well, that's why he's doing that. And that's getting in some dangerous areas, because that's a stockpile that we need. And so we got to be careful. But you know, and that's like putting a Band-Aid on an open heart surgery. It's not the best of ideas I've ever heard.
Well,
encourage American business to get out there and drill more and produce more and refine more. We can do it.
Well, my suspicion is this. This has always been Democrat Party politics. You watch the presidential debates. You have an Obama talking about gas prices necessarily increasing. That behind the scenes, they're okay with this. They think, well, when we had that last spike in the like 2007, 2008, 2009, it forced a lot of innovation. It forced people to be more fuel efficient, et cetera. And this is just a necessary evil to get to this kind of airy-fairy, pie-in-the-sky green energy agenda. And secretly, behind the scenes, they can't publicly come out and say this is great, but they're thinking this is a good thing.
And they're hoping that their plan works. Their plan is between now and November that, you know, we're at $4 a gallon now. I think we get it back down to $3.50 a gallon. They declare they brought the price of fuel down, and hopefully people forgot a year ago it cost $1.40 a gallon. So it's all games they play up here. And on both sides. But you know, you've got to look at reality, and reality is you got people that have got to feed their families. They got to get to and from work. You know, they've got those needs. They have to survive, and that gets stuck between the politics up here. And again, that's one of the things that just bothers me so much, because we have to go home to those districts. We have to face those people, and if I can't give them hope, I feel like I'm not doing my job.
Joined by Congressman Jerry Carl here on the program. Congressman, let's talk about, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but looking ahead toward the November midterms, 35 seats, it sounds like, is a target for you, but how do you feel about that today? What does that look like? Republicans do get control. What do you think changes? I mean, obviously there's some crazy stuff going on with Nancy Pelosi, but policy-wise, what can a Republican-controlled House, how can that change the country?
So last week we met down in Jacksonville. We spent 2 days and we're putting ideas together. What are we going to do? We're looking at balancing the budget. That's one. We have got to convince the American people that we can balance the budget and we can pay the debt off. It cannot be done in 2 years. So we've got to put together a 20-year plan and prove to folks it can be done, but we've got to follow this line to get there. You know, with the petroleum side, you're going to see us passing stuff in the House. We'll do it in the House. And what the Senate and the President does, as you well know, is totally out of our hands. But we're going to open up the petroleum industry. We are going to take down every barrier we possibly can. So we've got 12 different committees that are working on 12 different projects. We anticipate having a list of about 20 things that we're going to promise America we're doing if you put us in control in January of 2023. You put us in control, get us elected. These are the 10 things, much like Newt Gingrich did. What was it, Promise to America? Ours will not be
called Contract
that,
with America, yeah.
Your Contract with America. It'll be a very similar concept, very simple. Here's the 20 things that we're going to focus on as soon as we get in there. And we're already laying that groundwork now. We're pushing bills in, trying to get bills on the floor, knowing that we cannot get them on the floor, but they will be in the box up here or in the what they call it. But they'll be in the box ready, but we can just pull them out and immediately go to the floor with them. So we're already working ahead. We're already planning all the changes and the differences. But again, 12 different committees, they'll come up with 12 different areas that they can actually start cleaning up their stuff. I know I'm on the Armed Service Committee. Some of the stuff we're going to be looking at, we need more ships, we need more planes, we need more bullets. We need to take what we've got right now and clean up. We need to start checking and questioning. You know, what are you doing with this? Why that? You know, one of the big ones for us is the refueling tanker. You know, why are we paying for a plane that does not work? And I fuss about that up here constantly. But I think some hard questions need to be asked, and we can't do a lot of this unless we've got control. We've got subpoena power. There's a lot of things that will come with taking control that we don't have right now. So we'll have you a list, or we'll have America a list by August. July or August is our target date, definitely before the election. So everyone can see and understand what we're looking at and thinking about.
Last question, we'll get you out of here on this, Congressman. This stuff with the January 6th Commission, I think it's kind of a silly sideshow, but whatever. Who am I to judge? Let's say Republicans get in charge, where does that head? Do you start looking in the other direction? Why didn't Nancy Pelosi do more? What is your take on where that heads?
I want to be careful that we don't spend the next 2 years investigating things that we want to investigate. There are some things that need to be investigated. I would like to know why Nancy Pelosi didn't do more than what she did, because that was very important. That was a huge factor in what actually happened on January the 6th. But I hope we don't put the American country, the American people through tons of investigations on things that really don't, well, they matter, but, you know, we've still got to get this country. We've got to focus on fixing the problems of this country. January 6th did happen. It was a bad day. There was a handful of bad players involved in it, but so much of that has just blown way out of proportion by the Democrat Party because they have nothing else to talk about. They can't talk about their record and what they've passed up here without getting themselves in trouble. So, there'll be some of that will be done. I know Hunter Biden's laptop is certainly one of the top of the list. We have access to that. I'm trying to get access to look at it. I'm just really, really curious what all's on there. But they're in the process right now of printing everything on there. And there will be it'll be public information here before long.
Congressman, we've got to leave it there. Thanks for making time for us, and let's talk again soon.
Thanks, Jeff. Tell your family hello.
All right. Congressman Jerry Carl there on the line. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.